All right, good morning, everyone. So let's, in Meretz Hashem, today we're going to conclude the Naharos, the rivers, in Perek Shira. So just to reorient ourselves a little bit. So we were focusing on the idea that in this particular section of Perek Shira, so the author is conveying a level of simcha. Naharos, Naharos Omrim, Naharos Simcha Uchaf, Yachad Harim Yiranenu. So we're focusing again, not really on the Harim, because the Harim, the mountains, will actually focus on separately, but rather we are focusing on the rivers. The rivers will clap their hands. So remember, again, we saw the Mefarshim who explained the rivers are clapping their hands because they are besimcha. So we're trying to figure out, what is the nature of the simcha of the Harim. So we saw two opinions so far, right? What are the two opinions so far? Either, number one, when Mashiach comes, good, a reference to Messianic celebration, or possibility number two, is that it's not the Harim at all, but rather, again, who's celebrating? The people who are traveling the rivers. Okay, but then we kind of use that as a springboard to a much larger and broader conversation about the definition of simcha in general. What is the concept of simcha? What is the Jewish definition of what we'll call, I mean, we'll translate it as happiness, but I think as we're beginning to see already, simcha and happiness may not necessarily be the same thing. Happiness often describes an emotional state of joy. But simcha may be something a little bit different as we've begun to see. So we started the piece by Rabbi Nachman. And Rabbi Nachman was speaking about the idea of being, I think we spent a significant amount of time on this, about being dan lekaf schus. And the Rebbe's unique interpretation of being dan lekaf schus, of finding something positive in the individual. In other words, I see someone is doing something wrong. I recognize it's wrong. There's really no way, there's no other way to explain what they're doing. So it's unequivocally clear that it's wrong. But nevertheless, I don't allow the totality of the judgment of that individual to be defined by what they've done wrong. But rather, again, I find something positive in that individual as well. So kind of going along with this concept, take a look at paragraph Beis. So the Rebbe continues, and he says as follows, Va'af kishe maschil lehistakel ba'osa davar. So the Rebbe says, now, before we get into that, go back to Aleph for just a moment. So Rabbi Nachman, the first part I told you is all from Reish Nun Beis, all this same memra in the Kutei Moharan. After the part about talking or thinking about others, the Rebbe shifts his focus to the focus, or shifts the focus to the self. How does a person view themselves? So the Rebbe writes in 6 Aleph, V'chein tzarech ha'adam limtso gam ba'atzmo. The same applies to how a person views themselves. Ki ze yadua, she'tzarech ha'adam lihizare ma'od, lios b'simcha tamid. A person has to go ahead and perpetually try to remain in a state of simcha, to remain in a state of joy. We discussed this last time. Then Rabbi Nachman's worldview, sochet is not the greatest threat to man. Instead, the greatest threat to man is atzvos, is sadness. When a person allows themselves to be lost in the throes of despair, in the throes of atzvos, that's ultimately, again, when a person suffers a downward spiral of negativity. And we know this. Generally, when you feel sad, when you feel depressed, when you feel down specifically about yourself, you don't normally feel all that encouraged to engage in positive, dynamic growth. So the Rebbe goes on, he says, V'yaf, kishem, so how do you counter that, right? So how do you deal with that reality when you feel sad about yourself, when you feel sad about your missteps? So Rabbi Nachman would say, what applies to the other applies to me as well. So let's take a step back. What do I do when I see someone doing something wrong? What's my approach to that? Find something good in the individual. Right? I see someone doing something wrong, unequivocally wrong. Find something good. The Rebbe says it's the same model for how you deal with personalistic failure as well. When I know that I failed, when I know that I've done something wrong. So there are two choices. Choice number one is, you know, Yenachman's model. Choice number one is, what would you say? Look at yourself as a failure. Or even in one word, atzvos. Right? Atzvos, sadness. Allow myself to get lost in the sadness, which again is effectively looking at yourself as a failure, defining yourself by this one event. Or I can look at myself in totality. And I can say, yes, I've done something wrong, and maybe I've done something terribly wrong. And I have to try to fix it and have to try to address it. But this one failure does not mean that I am a failure. This one failure means that I am still a person who has much good, but has failed in a particular area and needs to address that failure. I want to be clear. Rabbi Nachman is never suggesting that, yeah, just look at the whole picture. And since you're mostly good, don't worry about the failure. Chas v'shalom, I always have to address my failures. But the Rebbe is saying, don't judge yourself based on that one failure. Try to look at yourself in totality. Now, the Rebbe says something amazing. He says, Va'afilu kishemaschil, v'istakel ba'atzmo, I'm in paragraph Aleph, second line in, end of the second line. Va'afilu kishemaschil, l'hastakel ba'atzmo, v'roa she'in bo shum tov. So now Rabbi Nachman describes something that is incredibly scary. What happens if a person looks inside themselves and can't find any good? Can't find any good. I introspect, I do my cheshbon nefesh, I look inside, but I can't find any good. So what should I do? The Rebbe says, "V'umali chatoim v'rotze ha'bal davar lahapilo al yedeze ba'atzvos umara shecharechas v'shalom." And again, all I see are my sins. All I see, I'm Archatoim. And the Baldover. The Baldover is reference to the Satan. The Satan is trying to drown me in an ocean of self-pity and sadness. He goes on, it's Afalpikein, Aser lo lipol mizeh. Rak tzarech lechapis velimtso ba'atzmo ezo ma'at tov. The Rebbe says, just work harder. Work harder to what? Work harder to find something good inside of yourself. In other words, from the perspective of Rabbi Nachman, right? What does Rabbi Nachman hold to be an eternal truth? Based on his words, what does he hold to be an eternal truth? Everyone has good. Everyone has good inside of them. And this is such, it's such an incredibly important yesod. Every person has good inside of them. So the Rebbe says, you mess up in life, you have a choice. Fall into the abyss of sadness, or find something good inside of yourself. You look, I can't find anything good. Look harder. Yes. Right. Beautiful. It's a machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Ben Azai. He's his Talmud. Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. Salam alaikum. This is an excellent point because we're going to talk a little bit about this. So what happens if I look and I look and I look and I can't find something good? So excellent. You have the opinion of Ben Azai, and Ben Azai holds that, again, even if you can't find any good thing that you've done, by definition, we each possess an innate good, because we are created with Salam alaikum. Excellent. I'll tell you something even more dramatic than that. There is we know the Mishnah Perkei Avos. The Mishnah says, I should have put this on your sheet, I apologize. Having me Talmid of Shal Aaron. Right? You have to be a student of Aaron HaKohen. Oei Vesabrios, right? Umakarvan LaTorah. Oei, I'm sorry. Ohev Shalom, Rodev Shalom. Right? Love peace, pursue peace. Oei Vesabrios, Umakarvan LaTorah. Love people and bring them back to Torah. So it's interesting. Remember, there's a statement of Hillel. So it's interesting to note that Hillel gives us a mitzvah to love people. Now, why is this intriguing? Because remember, again, even when it comes to V'ahavta l're'acha kamocha, how do Chazal understand that mitzvah? Does it mean I have to love people? How do Chazal translate? How do they understand it? Right? Ma disanoi alecha l'chavercha lo savit. Whatever you don't want done unto you, don't do unto others. Why do Chazal reinterpret it that way? What do you think? Right, because some people aren't lovable. I mean, that's just the reality. I mean, to tell me that I have to love every person, it's very... First of all, again, in general, we've spoken about this before. Love is an emotion. You can't really mandate emotions. And if you can't mandate a love for God, you certainly can't mandate a love for another human being. So that's how Chazal chose to reinterpret it. It's interesting to see that Hillel, however, when he interprets this idea of having mitamid of shal Aaron, oy vesabrios, love people. So the Balatanya comments, listen to this incredible yesod. The Balatanya says, why does the Mishnah, why does Hillel use the word brios? Brios means what, literally? Creations. Bria is the most nondescript word you could use for a human being, right? You could use Adam. You could use Anoshim. You could use Enosh, which is a form of Anoshim. The Ben Adam. There are different words to use for men. Brios is the most generic term you could use for people. So the Balatanya, Rav Shneur Zalman of the Adi, says something absolutely amazing. This is incredible. He says, you know how you love someone? Is find something positive, kind of like Rabbi Nachman is saying. And for some people, the only maila that you'll be able to find for them is that they walk on two legs instead of four. Some people, that's the only thing, that's the only maila that you could see. Okay, you're not a cow. You're not a cow. You're not a dog, right? You're not an animal. You walk on two legs. You always have to look for something positive. So it's true. You can look for something positive. The person is telling him, Elokim Balatayin, and says, even if the only positive thing you could see in a person is, well, at least you're not a cow, at least you're not an animal, you walk on two legs and not four, at least that is something positive. So the yisod, this is the yisod that the Rebbe is highlighting over here. What's true for the other applies to me as well. And this is incredibly important because so many people walk around in life with such a poor sense of self and such a diminished sense of self. And although they don't articulate it, they really think very low of themselves. And the reason for that is because I know my averus. I know what I've done. And I know that I've done a lot of stuff wrong. So of course I'm going to think poorly of myself, which the Rebbe says, okay, you have to address that which you've done wrong. But did you ever take stock of that which you're doing right? What about the good that you possess within yourself? Focus on that. Now remember again, I can't say enough. Is Rabbi Nachman telling me to ignore my averos? Chas v'shalom. I have to do tshuva, do whatever I have to do. So why is he telling me to focus on the positive? Why? First of all, it's the natural, it's for whatever the reason, it's just the natural tendency of people to be drawn to the negative, in others and in ourselves. But why else do I have to focus on the positive? Why?
Success breeds success.
Success breeds success. Excellent.
Excellent,
beautiful. Because again, if at the end of the day, if I feel like a nothing, this is what the Rebbe is driving at. If I feel like a nothing, and I feel like a failure, and I feel the only thing that really I know about me is avera, is chet, then by definition, that's what the Rebbe says, a person will fall into sadness, a person will fall into despair, a person gives up. If all I am is one big chet, then by definition, there's no hope for me. But if I could find good inside myself, that reminds me I have the capacity for good, the ability for good, and that gives me the necessary chizik and inspiration to now rebuild. I have what to rebuild on and what to rebuild with because I possess good. Take a look at paragraph Beis. We're not going to do all this. The Rebbe goes on, he says, Ba'af, kishemaschil yastaka bosa davatov. So let's say now I find something positive. I commit navera. I don't want to fall into the trap of thinking of myself as a terrible negative person. So instead, I'm going to focus on something good. I'm going to focus on something good. And now what happens? I identify that good. I helped an old lady cross the street the other day. Great. Now I found something good that is my focus. So the Rebbe says, now listen to this. Vav kishe maschil istaka ba'osa davaratov. Hu roashu gam kein malei pitzayim ve'imomosom. Something interesting happens. You know, I just mentioned this in a different share I was giving, that, you know, it is so much easier in life not to think about things. Right? If you don't think about things, life is so much easier. And the truth is, people who don't think at least appear to be much happier. I don't know if they're actually happier, but they appear to be happier. Because once you begin to think about things, you realize how incredibly complicated everything is. For example, the Rebbe says, now I find something positive. I find something positive in myself. So now what happens? But now I look at that mitzvah. I found that I did mitzvah A. Well, now I look at the mitzvah. Did I do the mitzvah bihi dura? Did I do it the right way? Did I do it with kavana? Did I do it with zrizos? Did I do it in the way I was supposed to? Now finally, I was able to look past my shortcomings and find something good. But now even when I look at that good thing, the Rebbe says, mali pitzayim, it's filled with blemishes. It's such an imperfect act. It's such a blemished thing. He says, I'm in paragraph Beis, third line in. I'll call Zeh. Eich efshar shelo yiyeh ba'osa mitzvah v'adavar shebek dusha eizah ma'at tov. So the Rebbe says, you're right. If you do an inventory of your mitzvos, are your mitzvos perfect? I would venture to say most of us probably don't even possess one perfect mitzvah. Chances are, because a perfect mitzvah, a mitzvah done exactly as the mechanics are right, the kavanas are right, no distractions, pure. I don't know if most people have a mitzvah like that, but the Rebbe says, it doesn't matter. You don't need, obviously I should aspire for that, but I don't need a mitzvah like that to accomplish what I'm trying to accomplish over here. All I need to find within myself is some level of good. Because what I need to do is resist the temptation to define myself by my averus. To resist the temptation to define myself ultimately by the negativity or by the bad things that I have done. And in order to resist... Yes.
Sorry, you can finish what you were saying.
No, go right ahead. Go right ahead.
I feel like we hear so many times like to push ourselves to do the mitzvah in its completeness because the mouth that it creates is going to be missing an arm or it's going to be missing a nose or it's going to... Right, we want to have that complete mitzvah with us. And here we're saying like, no, it's enough that you did the mitzvah. It's over to jive with you, right? Like, to aim for higher and be satisfied with...
It's a great question. First, I will tell you that imagery of creating like a malach without an arm or a nose always bothered me in general. I think to me at least, it's always been scarring, this notion that you're creating something that's so stymied. And I don't think this goes back to something we learned in our first semester, right? The Rebbe of Stefan Esht, the Voltaire. Perfect is the enemy of the good. Meaning at the end of the day, it's raising a very important point, which is we're conditioned to try to do things perfectly, but yet we have a recognition that we can't really produce perfect results. So I think we have to just reframe it a little bit. There is no expectation of perfection because perfection is simply unattainable. We've learned this many, many, many times throughout our journey in Perek Shira. Perfection is unattainable. My goal is to constantly do better. So now, when I have a mitzvah in front of me, to aim for perfection is unattainable. I want to aim for great. And if I did this mitzvah yesterday, I want to do it better today than I did it yesterday. That's my goal. What the Rebbe is talking about is after the fact. After the fact, now I did the mitzvah, now I'm looking ultimately again at what I've done. I see in the Rebbe's words, it's malei pitzayim. It's filled with blemishes. So what do I do with this? So the Rebbe says, it's filled with blemishes, but you still did something great. For the simple fact, don't cry over spilled milk. In other words, whatever you've done, you've done. I can't change the mitzvahs I've done. If they're blemished, they're blemished. All I can do is try to do better next time. But what the Rebbe is trying to accomplish over here is someone who has just committed a debilitating aveira, something that makes me look at myself as a negative, evil person. The only way to resist that temptation is find good. And even if the good is flawed, even if the good is highly flawed, and even if the good is blemished, blemished good is still good. Right? So good that is lacking is still good. A mitzvah is a mitzvah is a mitzvah. The Ribbono Shel Olam is happy as long as we expend effort. And the truth is, even if it's not maximum effort. Yes? Beautiful. 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 This is certainly part of the concept of, the Baal Shem Tov calls it, of Hashem Tzilcha, that Hashem is my shadow. That, right, your shadow does whatever you do. So the way you conduct yourself towards others is ultimately the way that Ribbono Shel Olam judges you. Beautiful. Also tying into here. Beautiful. And same idea. By the way, I just want to point out, we're going to see Rabbi Nachman is going to do this. Rabbi Nachman just goes in a different order. He brings that, being the Dan Lekav, essentially, it's the same concept of being Dan Lekav Schos. But with Rabbi Nachman starts, and it's quite fascinating, is Rabbi Nachman says, condition yourself be Dan Lekav Schos for the other, and then you'll be able to be Dan Lekav Schos for yourself, which is really quite fascinating because intuitively, I think for most of us, the progression we would normally create is first be dan lekav sechus for yourself, right? And then be dan lekav sechus for the other. The same way, v'yahavta le'racha kamocha presupposes you love yourself, right? As we just mentioned, if you don't love yourself, it's going to be a little bit difficult to have positive feelings towards the other. But yet, interestingly enough, Rabbi Nachman seems to feel that sometimes in life it's easier to be dan lekav sechus for the other than it is for oneself. You know, there are different kinds of people like this. There are some people who are much harder on others than they are themselves, right? They're much more judgmental about other people. But with myself, I give myself a pass for everything. Rabbi Nachman was just the opposite. You see, most of the great Hasidic masters, most great Jewish leaders were just the opposite. Much harder on themselves and much more forgiving of the other. So Rabbi Nachman says, to be down the kaf sechus for someone else, that's easy. It's much more difficult to be down the kaf sechus on yourself. But it's the same, right? Whatever, it's the same relationship, this relationship between the other and the self. Give other people the benefit of the doubt, Hashem will give you the benefit of the doubt. Be down the kaf sechus for the other, you'll be able to do it for yourself. Yes? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's somewhere. Maybe it's a medrash. I don't know. I mean, it's anything that's quoted so often has got to come from somewhere. I'm not familiar. I'm not familiar with the source. And again, I want to be clear. Conceptually, of course, it may mean the message. I'm assuming it's a medrash, but I don't know. I don't think it's a gemara, but I could be wrong. All right, that'll be your homework. Someone will come up with it, Amir Tzashem. But the message certainly is a clear one, which is the goal is to do things in a whole fashion. To me, just the challenge with things like that, with statements like that, is you always have to be careful with creating an unrealistic expectation, right? So what does that mean? The only way to create a complete malach from your maisa mitzvah is to do a perfect mitzvah? Well, what does a perfect mitzvah mean? And who amongst us could claim they did a perfect mitzvah, right? A perfect mitzvah. Kavanah's right. Mechanics are right. I don't know. I don't know that I have one perfect mitzvah in my whole lifetime. So I don't know. I'm gonna try to track down the source. I'm gonna tell you, meaning to be right. It only because it bothers me, because I think anytime you set people up with an expectation of perfection, you're setting yourself and others up for failure. But I'll try to be ma'ayin Mir Tzashem. Yes. Yeah, the only mitzvah Hashem Baruch Hu gives us is tamim tihya im Hashem Elokecha. Tamim means to be complete. See, people often translate tamim as perfect, but it does not mean perfect. Let me say it differently. The Torah never says you don't have to be perfect, right? Because that's a dangerous thing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say. But Hashem Baruch Hu gives us mitzvahs like v'davakta b'Hashem Elokecha, cling to me means try to emulate me. Try to emulate me. And even then, emulate my midos. Tamim tiyam Hashem Elokecha. Be complete with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Be complete doesn't mean perfect. Nowhere is there ever a statement of perfection. And understand, so remember again, we learned this already by the trees. In Barak Shira, there can't be any expectation of perfection because it is impossible. Remember, I just want to be clear. What makes the Ribono Shel Olam the Ribono Shel Olam, and the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is different than anything else in this world, is because He's perfect. That's it. Perfection is the key divine quality. So therefore, by definition, nothing other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu could possess that. So again, yes?
Is there a word in Hebrew for perfection?
A word in Hebrew for perfection?
It doesn't exist in Hebrew. Like,
yeah. I wonder if in modern Hebrew it exists.
Well,
it's
yeah,
perfect. Yeah.
That's complete. I'm saying perfection.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't come to me offhand.
Shameless.
I'm sorry? Shameless means complete. Complete doesn't mean perfect.
I'm only asking.
Right?
There's a song by Yaakov Goshevsky called The Perfect World, and it uses the word mushlam as complete, and there's no word for perfection. That's
right, but even mushlam is shalim is complete, but complete doesn't have to be perfect.
Right, that's what I'm asking. Is there anything?
Yeah. Offhand, I should have paid more attention to TikTok in growing up in school. But
Mushlam.
But that's modern Hebrew. That's modern Hebrew.
But Shlema's kind of makes sense because no one has reached Shlema, because as soon as you reach Shlema, then you don't
need Shlema anymore. Well, I don't know if that's true. In other words, Shlemos itself is a different discussion. In other words, how do you define Shlemos? What does it mean to be Shalim? Which again, if you want to go back to a pasuk in Chumash, it goes back to what the definition of Tamim Tiyam Hashem Elokecha. What does it mean to be Tamim? Which again, I would think that Tamim and Mushlam are synonyms. says, but mushlam, I don't know. I think that's an interesting discussion about what exactly that means. But again, answer to the question, I guess there's no, I don't know, I want to think about that as well. But off the cuff, it doesn't appear to me that there's any word in Hebrew or in Tanakh, I would say, for perfection. I don't think so. I don't think so. So let's finish Rabbi Nachman. So Rabbi Nachman goes on. So just to complete out this piece, so Rabbi Nachman explains that again, the whole yisod is a person has to be dan l'kaf sechus for the other, and also has to be dan l'kaf sechus for themselves. And being dan l'kaf sechus for the other means see the good in the other person. Don't judge them based on one event of sin or of one misdeed, but see them in their totality. When it comes to looking at yourself, see yourself in your totality as well. And the reason why I think that this is very important is because, remember, Rabbi Nachman was the one who coined the phrase of mitzvah gidola lios b'simcha tamid. This was Rabbi Nachman's statement. So how is it possible to be mekayim that? How is a person able to fulfill mitzvah gidola lios b'simcha tamid? So perhaps Rabbi is giving us the answer over here. How do you find simcha in life? You find simcha in life by finding the good within yourself. An incredibly important yisod. Find your simcha by finding your inner good. And the reason why this is incredibly important is because simcha, we already spoke about this, simcha can't mean a smile on your face. And simcha can't mean just simply a constant clicking of your heels and being in a joyous mood. Because first of all, that type of simcha is not even always permitted. And that type of simcha isn't always appropriate. So the simcha that the Rebbe is referring to when he says mitzvah gedola, lihios b'simcha tamid, is a much more profound life simcha. And that is the simcha that comes out ultimately by finding the good inside of yourself. And we know this. We know this just from our own life experiences. When you find good and you feel good about yourself, there is a certain life tranquility and a certain level of simcha that by definition accompanies that feeling. So we've got simcha. So again, we have, of course, there's the general answers to simcha. How do you find simcha in life? Torah, ruchnius, chesed, of course, those are all true. But I think if we're looking to kind of, drill into that a little bit, the Rebbe says, when you feel good about yourself, and you know that you're living a purposeful life, and you can find mitzvos inside of yourself, and yes, plenty of averos as well, but I find good, that's where simcha comes from. One last piece in this particular section, and I'll preface this by saying something very important, which is that in the world of simcha, there are really two different words. There's simcha, and there's holalos. I'll give you a good example. If you see someone at a chasana, right? You see someone at a chasana, and they are dancing with all of their heart and soul, and mamish, pushing themselves into the middle of the circle every single time, and mamish, schwitzing, and so, is that simcha? I'm sorry?
You're being with
somebody. Okay, you could be missing a chasana kala, good. I'm sorry? It's not. Why not?
It's so transient.
Oh.
Like, you might not even
right. What does it depend on? So I'll just frame it for you in these two ways. If the person spent 2 hours at the bar at the chasana, and now is a bit labadig and inebriated, and that's why, right, that's one thing. Versus a person who maybe it's their good friend who's getting married, or maybe it's someone who waited a long time to get married, or maybe this is a person who just feels the simchas of others like it's their own. So it's interesting to notice as follows. If the person drank too much, and therefore the life of the party, that's not called simcha. That's what's called holulos. Holulos means frivolity. Frivolity. Now, interestingly enough, sometimes simcha and frivolity could look the same way. They can manifest in the same way. And the only way to know, ultimately, again, is to delve down a little bit into it, to see, to kind of watch the video. What was that person doing that evening before they were the life of the party? So I'm just pointing out something very interesting, that simcha and holulos can manifest themselves the same way, yet they emanate from two different points of origin. So the person who's now the life of the party because he or she drank too much, that's holulos. That's not simcha. But the person ultimately, again, who's motivated out of a sincere desire, something holy, to be misameach chasen v'kala, so happy to be at a simcha, so happy that Jews are celebrating, then ultimately, again, that's simcha. Now, let's drill down on this a little bit further. The fundamental distinction between simcha and hololos also is, are you running to life or away from life? Sometimes people think that simcha is accomplished when you are able to run away from reality. And that's why you see people often associate the greatest amount of simcha with things like vacations, or again, much more outside of our world, with drinking and alcohol, drug use. Why do people associate simcha? Because they're an escape. Reality is so difficult. Reality is so overwhelming, right? I need something to allow me to escape from this reality. So again, if it's the vacation, I want to be clear, vacations are great, but not when your whole life becomes focused on what that vacation is going to be. That's an escape. Hololos means I'm looking to escape from my reality because I think joy or happiness in life is only found through escapism. Simcha could mean the ability to find the joy in everyday life. So I want to share with you something that I think is so beautiful. If you look at number 7, this is a poem from a book titled Memo to Self. This book was written by a woman. Her name was Sarah Rosenblatt. Sarah Rosenblatt, Zichron Lerach, she passed away a couple of years ago, started out as Rena Lewis from Washington, D.C. She became a Balas Tshuva while attending University of Maryland. She subsequently went on to marry a Breslover chassan and raised her family in Mea Shearim. So she was an incredible writer. I think she was also like on the editorial staff, maybe for Ami magazine. She was very active in many of the Jewish publications. So she wrote a book of poetry that was compiled. The book of poetry was titled Memo to Self. Memo to Self. And she wrote this poem that I thought is so... You could Google her. I think you could purchase the book of poetry, but I think most of them are available online. They're so beautiful. They're so beautiful. They're beautiful in their simplicity. So look what she writes over here. Thanks for this day. Thanks for this day in which nothing out of the ordinary happened at all. Shlomi couldn't find his sandal. Adi couldn't find her math book. My baby kissed me. I made hot dogs and french fries for lunch. The kids did homework, played a game of cutting and pasting, filled the floor with scraps. Some neighbor's kids were helping. They sang a silly song. Fagi made egg salad sandwiches and they went to the park. Meanwhile, I got some ironing done. A breeze blew in. Birds sang. The sky was blue. The clouds were white. And oh, I knew that nothing I could ever do or say or write would ever be enough to thank you for one's second's sweetness of this ordinary day. Such a beautiful... I'm very moved by this poem because I think what Sarah Rosenblatt, Zichron Levracha, is capturing over here is what true simcha is. See, simcha is not the hololos of escaping from your reality, but simcha is the ability to find the meaning in your reality. It's the ability to just find the beautiful things that occur in everyday life. You know what our problem is sometimes? We become a little bit high maintenance. And so we think that simcha only comes about as a result of like dramatic things. So I'll be happy when, and again, you could fill in the blank. I'll be happy when I get married. I'll be happy when I have a house. I'll be happy when I have a baby. I'll be happy when I have a career. People have different ways of filling that in. And meanwhile, I think what this poem is teaching us and the profundity of it, the simplicity of it, is that you want to know where simcha comes from? Simcha comes from finding the beauty in everyday life. In everyday life. And if you open your eyes enough, no matter what is happening in your life, and most of us have challenges in our everyday lives, and the challenges don't go away, the challenges are there, but there's the ability to find something beautiful, and not just one thing, many beautiful things in everyday life. That's where simcha comes from. So I think if we bring this together, what comes out is as follows. So the Naharos are telling us, Naharos in Chayachav, the Naharos, right, the rivers are b'simcha. They're all happy. They're all joyous. So whether it's the rivers that are happy, or it's ultimately, again, the people who are traveling on the rivers are happy. Now remember, again, as we pointed out, the rivers, Hanaros Yimcha'ukaf. Yimcha'ukaf means what? What tense is that? Future. So here's perhaps the message of the Naharos. The Naharos are telling us, we will be happy. We will be happy. When will the rivers celebrate? The rivers will celebrate when Mashiach comes. But perhaps the embedded message of the rivers is they're telling us, don't be like us. You people, don't be like us, the rivers. We'll be happy when, right? We'll be happy in the future. We'll be happy when Mashiach comes. But you human beings, you need to find simcha now. You need to find a true sense of simcha now in life. How do you human beings find that simcha in life? So two approaches. And I want to point out, there are many more approaches, I'm sure. Right? Finding simcha is something that is an incredible challenge, and every person finds it different ways. I'm just suggesting two approaches. Approach number one, Rabbi Nachman. And Rabbi Nachman teaches us the way to find simcha in life is find good within yourself. Remind yourself that you are good. And remind yourself that even if you've messed up really badly in life, you are not down and out. You're not shivrei kalim, right? You're not broken and down forever. Find something good within yourself. And once you find that good within yourself, you will recognize that you have value, you have worth, and that'll give you the chizik to, yes, address your averus and address your shortcomings and rebuild that which is broken. But simcha comes from finding the good you possess. That's Rabbi Nachman. And so Rosenblatt Zichron of the Bracha teaches us that simcha comes from just finding the beauty in everyday life. You know, we are often so busy in everything we're doing that we never really, you know, it's supposed to be, I think, like 65 degrees today, right? So I'm not going to tell you to take out time to work on your tan, you know, but take out a few moments. And when you walk outside, close your eyes and just look up at the sun. I mean, close your eyes and look up, right? And just feel the warmth. And say, Ribono Shel Olam, thank you. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And that's just one thing. That's just one thing. In any given day, there are so many beautiful things that we miss out on. And all we have to do is kind of just slow things down a little bit to take in all the beautiful brachas of everyday life. And if we have that, then we have simcha. So the naros, they will be happy. But our job is to find happiness in the present. All right, we'll stop over here for today. I think is Monday our last class before Pesach? I think so. I think on Monday, Meretz Hashem, we'll focus a little bit on Pesach as well.
Thank you.
Of course, have a good day, everyone.
Thank you.
Good morning. So definitely, she thought it was holiness. She thought it was holiness. She's like, what are you doing? But for him, it was pure simcha, right? And that's why she dealt with so severe. The repercussions of that are so severe because it was pure simcha. She didn't understand. Also, remember, she never saw it before. You know, you can only, like, if you imagine, if you go to a chasana for the first time and you see someone doing crazy stuff and you've never seen that before, you would think, what's wrong with that person? She had never seen it. But yes, she thought it was hololos, but it was cynical. Good morning. Yes, tell me your name.
Lonnie Rosenberg. I'll play. And then Chana Roll also, I think she forgot to say, but she also walked in with me.
I have Chana Roll here.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And
thank you.
Maybe
Edelstein. Okay, maybe, yes. Oh, okay, great.
And Ora.
Yes, Ora, good morning. Great to have you.
Sarah.
Good morning.
Thank you so much.
Of course. Have a good day.
Hi,
good morning. Okay, great. Good morning. My pleasure. Good morning. Great. Of course. Good morning. Good morning. Yes, go right ahead.
So I was just like,
sorry, I'm just
don't worry. Yeah, 100%.